All right.
In 1944, the world population was 2,442,000,000 people. Today, it is 7,590,000,000.
Wow. Been busy.
Right. Also, in 1944, men's life expectancy was 63 years. Today, it's 76. Women's was 66. Today, it's 81.
Oh. All right. Thank you, Shannon.
That's because we take care of business.
Okay, it's now time for the presidential report. And I'd like for you to make believe that you're in a time machine, and we're going to journey back to 1944. And as you're a blind person, and as you live in 1944, what is the expectations of you, and what's it out there in this state, in South Carolina? Well, I can tell you, and as you heard from Marshall and Lois, it was pretty bleak. Educational opportunities were extremely low. Employment opportunities were scarce. I believe the only alternatives for employment was the broom shop here in Columbia, run by the Association for the Blind, which you could probably get by very, very poor wages, probably a quarter an hour or less. Or it was working in a vending facility, which you were making extremely low money. Randolph Shepherd was just implemented a few years earlier than that. And with the agency that was serving the blind at that time, the Public Welfare Department, many of those vending locations went out to sighted people as well as blind people. So blind people didn't get the first priority to them here in South Carolina. Also, the average income for a vending location during that time was way below the average nationally. We talk about low expectations. There were no expectations of blind people back in 1944. And basically, blind were the folks thought that we needed to be protected. We needed to be kept aside and out of the way. But along came a blind Baptist minister who kind of broke the mold of most blind people back in those days. Dr. Lawton did have a doctorate degree in theology. He taught theology at University of South Carolina. He was also the co-founder of the North Greenville Junior College. And of course, he was a chaplain at the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind. And in 1944, we had a picnic and under the apple tree, and a group of blind people decided to start an organization called the Aurora Club. And the main purpose of this organization would have the blind speaking for themselves. As Parnell said, the two primary purposes of the Aurora Club at that time was to improve the spiritual and social well-being of blind people. And then in 1956, when we joined the National Federation of the Blind and became an affiliate with that, with the national organization, we added economic well-being, to improve the economic well-being of blind people as well. In the early 50s, Donald Capps got involved with it. And it was kind of done like it's done with most Federation folks. You kind of got to get them to the meeting, kind of bribe them to get them there. His brother, Earl, was the president of the Columbia chapter. And Earl asked his brother to come speak to the chapter. And Mr. Capps did and got involved with the chapter at that point and saw the need that things needed to change for blind people in South Carolina. Mr. Capps went to the National Convention in 56 and saw how woeful the services were for blind people here in South Carolina. He made a vow with himself at that point that he was going to change that and work on those types of things. So we kept the Aurora Club, that name, until the mid-70s, and in the mid-70s is going to be changed to the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina. I too like to recognize my former state presidents who went before me. Mr. Capps was state president on and off for 30 years. And he really laid the groundwork and the foundation for what we are today in South Carolina. Also, the Tuckers, of course, they were fine examples, state president. When I joined the Federation here in South Carolina in 1975, Reva Hancock was state president. And I was really close to Robert Bell. Mr. Bell was one of my mentors and so forth, and I thought the world of Mr. Bell. And of course, Parnell and I were close colleagues and so forth, and enjoyed working with Parnell when he was state president from 2000 to 2015. We've done a lot this year, and I'd like to kind of hit on some of the highlights of what has gone on this year. First of all, in October at Rocky Bottom, we held the first National Seniors Retreat. We had 12 students from across the country, from as far away as Utah, New Jersey, New York, Florida, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. And it was an awesome, awesome experience. Ruth Savior, who is the president of our National Seniors Division, directed the program. And we had volunteers working with her. Liz Lewis, as you all know, now living in North Carolina, was an active member here in South Carolina for many years. Her husband, Michael, myself and Shelley, Tom and Linda Anderson from Kansas, and I think I forgot anybody, and a bunch of other volunteers, Lenora and her crew in the kitchen, and just a bunch of other folks who made this possible. While in training, the students wore sleep shades, had cane travel, home management type skills, and a philosophy class every afternoon. Took them on a field trip using their sleep shades. They did say that we turned off the power the last night, and to make it real, but we really didn't do that. A tree fell on our power lines, knocked out the power for about 24 hours. But I think the true testament of the training was a young lady from Michigan who really didn't want to come, but she was friends with Liz Lewis, but came and didn't use a cane really, was traveling, didn't know Braille, whatever. But when she left, she saw the purpose of what we were doing. She wears sleep shades constantly, and we get correspondence from her, which she writes in Braille using a slate and stylus. And she told us that, you know, where she at one time was embarrassed to using a white cane, she uses it all the time now, and very proud of her white cane. Another highlight in December, as you know, we have a very good, excellent, successful transitions program. And in December, we added our mentoring component to it. So now we have another component to our successful transition where we can work with blind folks, young blind people, and mentor them and so forth. And it's been very successful so far, as you can see today. I too agree with Mr. Capps. You have to bring in the younger folks if the organization is going to live and survive. And that's testament to a lot of people who are here today who were in the organization back in the late 80s and early 90s and so forth. And I'm so excited to have so many young folks with us at this convention. Our statewide seminar in January was one of our largest. It's a one-day conference, mid-year conference. We had 160 people filled up the Federation Center. And we heard from our three agency heads and had other items as well. We raised over $1,000 that day for Rocky Bottom, which was very, very good. Washington seminar in January, and end of January, we had 14 folks in our delegation, and it was led by our first vice president, Nora Robertson. Shelley and I were unable to go. We had some family issues that we were taking care of. As you know, our youngest grandson was going through some heart surgery during that time, and we needed to stay at home to take care of his sister while his parents and he were in Charleston for the surgery and so on. But and Lenore did an excellent job, as I knew she would, and I would just like to recognize the people who were with her on that trip: her daughter Ellen, second vice president Deborah Canty, Diane Singleton, and the BFSC state board member Linda Disley, Jennifer Baser. And we had seven students as well. Also with Jennifer was Pam Schicksnyder, and the seven students were Alante Ellerby, or Tank, AJ McFadden, Olivia Taylor, Neil Sheff, and Wallace Stuckey. And Derek Simon, of course, was with us as well. Don't want to forget Derek. In March, we had a leadership seminar. About 75 folks were in attendance. We learned better communication skills. And also, we had a presentation from PNA, Protection and Advocacy, We did a lot of stuff with fundraising that afternoon, and I thought it was a very well time well spent. In May, the first Tuesday in May, we had a fundraising event for Rocky Bottom, which involved our whole state. It's called Midlands Gives. Midlands Gives is an opportunity for organizations, nonprofits in the Midlands area to raise money online and to get the word out and talk about their programs, get the word out, to raise money online and so on. Since our headquarters for Rocky Bottom is at our Federation Center, we concentrated this year on raising money for Rocky Bottom. The first year, we did this 3 years ago, the first year we raised $900. Last year we raised $1,800. This year we raised $6,300 for Rocky Bottom. We had a lot of help doing that. We had competitions set up among the six districts of the Federation of our state affiliate and our statewide divisions and programs. And one of the unique features about Midlands Gives is that there are power hours during the day, and the nonprofits who has the most unique contributions during that hour will get additional monies. So between 12 and 1, we selected 12 to 1 to do our power hour. We had people calling into the Federation Center. We had successful transition staff out in the community. We had 37 unique contributions during that hour. And for small profits, we won first place and got $2,500 extra bucks for doing it. At the luncheon today, we're going to recognize the individual, I won't give away too much, the individual who raised the most and unique contributions and so forth. So we will do that at the luncheon. But it was an awesome, awesome event. And this is, folks, it's an easy way to raise money because you're not taking it out of your pocket unless you want to, but you're asking your friends and family members and businesses and so forth and so on to do it. You know, we tripled this year what we did the year before. There's no reason why we can at least get around $20,000 next year to go toward Rocky Bottom. No reason whatsoever, especially if all of us in this state work very hard to do that. In July, we had our national convention, and we had 102 people in attendance, and I was very pleased with that. Let's give ourselves a hand for that, absolutely. We're honored to have Derek Simon as a national scholarship winner. And we were also honored to have 6 Jernigan scholarship winners as well in our delegation. But you know what? Jim's right. We have 200 people in Houston, and we will do that. One of the reasons why we were so, we had such a well-attended convention, and it was so good to be over 100. South Carolina used to do this every year. But we were down the last couple of years. I think we did finish in the top 10 last year. But we met 102 this year, and but the reason why we did that is because we start planning in the fall. And at our last year's state convention, I asked Tiffany Mitchell to head up the program to see about getting group rates for airfare and encouraging people to go. And Tiffany did an awesome, awesome job. Let's give Tiffany a big hand for that. As Jim said, it doesn't happen in April and say, oh, we're going to national convention. You have to plan on it early and make it work. And we're going to start planning on for Houston this fall also, too, to make it work. So we'll have 200 people there. Okay. One of the things that I strongly believe in is partnerships with other agencies. I think that helps out blind folks in general in terms of doing what we can to improve the quality of life for blind people. One of the partnerships we have is with the South Carolina Commission for the Blind. It's with our assistive technology training at the Federation Center, both the virtual training and the on-site training, but also with our successful transitions program and also mentoring program. Partnership has been very good to us, and we look forward to working with the Commission for the Blind in the future. But I do want to make something very, very clear. Just because we have partnerships with the agency, it's not going to stop us to make sure that, we have quality services for blind people in South Carolina. Another partnership that we just started developing, I guess back in May, June, was working with the South Carolina Department of Corrections, working with David Martinez, who is an ADA specialist there. There are blind inmates in our prison system. Both of them are housed over on Broad River Road in the facility there. They have no skills whatsoever, no blindness skills, and they're looking to us to work with them to help them in this area, which I think is important. The commission didn't want to do it, and so we said we will work with you folks and see what we can do to help these blind inmates there. They need some cane travel. They need some assistive technology training, which we can do virtually, and they need some braille training. But we're going to work with these guys over there to make sure that they have the tools they need so they can live the life they want while they're in prison. Another agency that we're working with, back in June, I had the opportunity to sit down along with Ed Bible to meet the new director of Talking Book Services, Kristen White, that you'll meet this afternoon when she gives her report. A lady with a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and a willingness to work with us in providing better programs to the blind in the state. We talked about a few things, and I am very excited that she would like to work with us so we can provide those kind of services. And finally, I guess it was last year, latter part of last year, it was contacted, Ed Bible was contacted by Julian Brinkley, who's professor at Clemson University. We'll let that slide a little bit, but Clemson University. He's in the Department of Engineering, and he was very active in Florida and other places working with autonomous cars and so forth, teaching engineering. He brought down a bunch of engineering students to our Federation Center in February. We're going to be working with him and his students in terms of seeing what's appropriate, what's useful in terms of technology and so forth, and innovative stuff for blind people. Not off-the-wall stuff that folks that blind people don't need, but things that can really help blind folks. And I'm very excited about this partnership that we're going to have with Dr. Brinkley. So I look forward to working with these partnerships and also developing more as we go on. This has been a very busy year. As I told you last year, I wanted to visit as many chapters as possible. I visited about 12 chapters this year, a little over half the chapters, and gave me an idea of where we were, what we needed to do in terms of increasing membership, getting larger, and I plan to visit chapters where I haven't visited last year and do the same. One of the big initiatives this year with our national organization has been membership. And as you know, this past year, when we started this year, big push that I was putting on is getting people to send in their information, their contact information for their chapters and members, so we could give this to our national office so they could start that database so we can have an accurate account of what's going on and who's where in our affiliates and so on. We did pretty well with that, a little late. We didn't do it quite by the end of January, but we finally got our act together. We got our coins, and I hope you all have your coins and show them proudly as the members of the National Federation of the Blind. I like them better, I don't know about you guys, but I like them better than the cards. And I think it's pretty cool stuff. As Mr. Gashel talked about this morning, the new membership form is online. Chapters, please look at it. If you need some help, please call our center and David will be glad to help you with that, with new form. But there is a process to go through now to for new members and so forth. But I think it'll be great because they'll get introduction to the Federation, what we stand for, who we are, and what we do. So please make use of that form. And so also we can capture that information and they can get information and literature regarding the National Federation of the Blind. In June of this year, Mr. Kirby, who's been the commissioner for the Commission for the Blind for 14 years, stepped down from his position. And we are in the Let's be nice, guys. We're in the process of the search of finding a new commissioner. In the middle of June, I received a phone call from Mary Soxton, one of the commission board members, and asking if the NFBFSC would like to have input into the process. And I said, absolutely, we would. She asked me who I would like to be our representative, and it took me about 5 seconds to think who I would like to do that. And I said, you know what? I think Parnell Diggs will be a great asset to your board to come up, to help you guys, hopefully come up with a commissioner who will run this agency. So they're in that process now. Parnell has been involved with it. We'll let you know, hopefully, what comes out of it and so on. But hopefully we can have a commissioner that will be work with us, along with us, side by side, to have quality services for the blind of this state. I told someone who called me the night before their interview and said, you know what, if you get this job, it'll be a challenge, a big challenge. But if you turn the ship, you have a feather in your cap, because it would be something amazing. I would like for us to keep the commission board in our prayers, that they come up with the right person. And also, it is very important for us to, as soon as that person is hired, to develop a positive relationship with that individual and influence them as much as possible as to what we need and where we need to go. And I tell you, as soon as they're hired, I will be in their office and introducing myself and getting them involved with the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina. Some of the goals I want to do this year, Ms. Gashel talked about it a little bit. I would like to do more with our Meet the Blind Month in October. Some of our chapters do get involved with that. I'd like to see more of our chapters doing something with that. And it'd be great if we could do it one Saturday, like October 12th, and a lot of our chapters do activities throughout the state, get as much coverage as we can for that, media coverage and so on. I think that would impact a lot. So if you work with me with that, I will appoint someone to do that and to work with me so we can make this work. As you know, Meet the Blind Month serves a lot of purposes. It gets our word out, who we are and what we do, and so on, but also it's a great recruitment tool for newly blinded individuals to get them involved in our organization and so forth. So I want to do that. I know this is something I've talked about for a few years, but by golly, we're going to do it by next year. We are going to have a statewide member at large chapter. I think this is important in this state. We are extremely rural. There's a lot of places where transportation does not exist. It makes it very difficult for small chapters to get from point A to point B for a monthly meeting. If we could have a member at large statewide chapter, we meet by telephone during the year, meet once a year here at the state convention, that would be awesome. And finally, I want to develop more of a presence with our legislature. I think one of our resolutions that we're going to talk about tomorrow will allow us to do that, because we're going to probably have some legislation dealing with voting and making voting machines more accessible with the new ones coming out for blind folks. So those are some of my goals that I would like to do this year. Let me quickly talk about the presidency a little bit. I indicated last year that if I was to be elected, that this would probably be my last 2 years of being your state president. And I thought about this past year. This past year has been difficult, with handling family responsibilities as well as handling the state president responsibilities and chairman of Rocky Bottom and juggling them all together. I'm not getting younger, although 68 is not old. For the ninth time and effort you need to put into this program and to do what you need to do, it's telling on me a little bit. The stress sometimes can be pretty good, but the stress is definitely there. I pledge to you that this year I will work very hard, but I will be stepping down in 2020 as state president. We do have a lot of good leaders in this organization, and I'll be talking to some of them to replace me in 2020 And we will talk about that next year. But again, I appreciate what all of you have done since I've been president, but I want you to think about that, that 2020 will be under new leadership. But I also want to say this. I've been involved in this organization for a long time. Not quite as long as Dorothy, but almost. I joined in Baltimore in 1973, where I grew up. I came down here and joined in South Carolina in 1975. And I've been very honored to serve on the board since 1984, as state board member and as a state officer since 1986. I think it's time that I step aside and let some of these younger folks take over a little bit. I will step aside, but I'm not going to step away. When the Federation is in your blood, it's always going to be in your blood. So, I just want to say that. So, where are we today? And what we, you know, we heard a lot of stuff this morning in our 75th year panel and so on. We heard lots of good things that have gone on over the years. You know, we have passed 46 pieces of legislation. We have built retreats in the northwest corner of the state, a Federation center. We have one of the larger, still have one of the larger affiliates throughout the country. But there's still a lot of growth and a lot of things that need to be done. So where are we going to go the next 75 years? What's going to happen there? If we're going to be successful and if we're going to be who we need to be, we need to know who we are and not be ashamed of that, because we are the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina. We cannot walk into a chapter meeting and say, I'd like to welcome you to such and such a chapter and leave it there. We're in such and such a chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of South Carolina. We have to know what our purpose is. Our purpose is to improve the quality of life of blind people. It's okay to have to be social and to fellowship, but our main purpose is to advocate for blind folks and make sure they're treated as first-class citizens and to make sure that we make a difference in blind people's lives. And we need to realize that we're a part of a large community of sighted and blind people. Sometimes I think we get lost on the local level. We think about our local chapter or our local program or whatever the case may be, but we're part of a larger community. The local chapter is part of the state organization. State organization is part of the national organization. And we need to keep that in mind, that we're working not just for us, but we're working for everybody in this country to improve the quality of life of blind folks. And we need to also realize, if we're going to make a difference in the next 75 years, that we're one team and one goal. One team, one goal. Because if we do that, we can change what it means to be blind. We can show that blindness is just a characteristic and it does not define us. We can show that we have high expectations, because we know that low expectations causes obstacles to our dreams. And we can show that we can live the life we want, that blindness is not going to hold us back. We can do all these things. We can transform our dreams into reality. So I'm not just asking folks to join me this year. Let's make it happen. Let's work hard these next year to improve the life of the quality of blind people, and let's go build a National Federation of the Blind. Thank you so much.